It's been a great show. I really enjoyed it. Welcome, everybody.
As calls increase for justice after the death of Florida teen Trayvon Martin, questions continue regarding the story of his...
We are fired up and ready to go, apparently. Welcome to the weekly wrap-up. Apparently, that's how we start off our April Fool's edition. I am joined by actor, comedian Jeff Hendrick. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, everyone.
One of the few people who make me sound like I'm sometimes talking with a high voice. It was fantastic. It is God and his older brother in the studio. That is nice. We will be talking, obviously you will hear, we'll be talking shortly about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman nonsense, about Obamacare and that being heard from the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
We will hit into election politics and what could be basically the beginning of the wrapping up phase of the nominating Republican process.
Let's wrap that up, shall we?
We will talk about... Tebow going to the Jets. Apparently, he's somewhat excited. Magic Johnson, I know you're...
44 times she was excited.
He is quite excited. Magic Johnson, we will get to him. I know that's got to excite you a little bit. And Sean Payton's going to appeal. But first, let's talk about what everybody's been talking about.
For justice after the death of Florida teen Trayvon Martin, questions continue regarding the story of his shooter, George Zimmerman. Newly released surveillance video of Zimmerman on the night he says he shot Martin in self-defense shows the neighborhood watch volunteer at the Sanford, Florida Police Department, and he doesn't look very beat up. Police reports had suggested the 28-year-old Zimmerman had a bloody nose and blood on the back of his head, but the admittedly gritty surveillance footage doesn't seem to show evidence of...
So, you saw the surveillance tapes?
Yeah.
What does that prove to you?
I've been beat up, and I didn't look that good after I got beat up.
Well, you're setting me up for too many lines there, so I'll take none of them.
He didn't look particularly... I think what bothered me most, that within a half an hour, he's in front of a camera, and he doesn't look upset.
No, he was handcuffed, which is, I think, surprised a lot of people for a guy that apparently was not arrested. He was handcuffed, at least at that point in time.
Well, one would hope if you're standing near a dead body with a gun and you're,
yes,
you might be handcuffed. Just
those same people that are hoping that would also hope that there would have been an arrest made. By the way, if you're around and listening and there's something that happened this week, as well as this case or anything else that happened this week, call in 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. We're talking about the surveillance tapes that came out and whether that proved anything. My problem is this. I mean, you look at it, and to me, obviously, it doesn't prove anything.
Right.
It shows a couple of things. One, it shows to me that he did stop. The cop at some point did look at the back of his head,
mm-hmm.
which for the defense alone is enough for them to say, well, they cleaned him up on site a little bit. They looked at the back of his head. What doesn't seem to work is that the family, Zimmerman's family, and that Joe Oliver guy, the people that are coming out in his defense, and we'll get to him in a moment, but they basically, they're coming to his defense saying that he was beaten, that Martin right. came out, and he, you know, and he was banging his head against the right. ground, and depending on which, the dad or the brother, which version of the story you want to hear, mm-hmm. this guy got beaten for almost a minute straight. That one mystery minute,
right.
Zimmerman getting his ass beat, according to these guys.
Right, which isn't on any of the tape.
No, that's not, the minute that is that nobody knows what happened. Then, that, unfortunately, that's the minute that both sides, no matter which side wins this case, if there is a case, both sides will claim that minute.
That's the magic minute, the magic bullet minute.
Yes. Yeah. Now the thing is, though, if he was beaten that badly, he's not walking around without at least a guy having his arm on him the whole time.
And where you ever broken your nose? You played hockey in college.
I have a nose that looks like it's been broken. We'll say.
My apologies. So your nose has not been broken?
No. Quite well. It may have been.
Have you seen somebody with a broken nose? That it's a bloody affair, is all I'm saying. I don't know.
And this is kind of my problem, which we're going to get to. I don't know what happened with his clothes. I don't know if that's the same clothes. I don't know if he had an overshirt that they took off. All of that would come out in a trial if they arrested him.
And if any of that clothing did exist, it should be in an evidence bag somewhere.
Well, that's true, but that evidence bag is not CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News. It's not the trying of the case on TV, which is kind of my problem. I mean,
that sort of witness protection style Zimmerman Sr. stuff that we've been seeing from their Fox affiliate down there.
Well, yes, they for some reason they seem to be. That's where the I don't want to say assassination attempts on Trayvon's character, but the same thing. That technically that's happening to Zimmerman on every other station and every other person, but is happening to Trayvon and for some reason on the more right-wing broadcast and things along those lines. And that's weird because it doesn't seem like a place.
Right, but I mean, we've seen different photographs released from different political perspectives in the media, if you will. Like MSNBC has the really sort of angelic Trayvon, and Fox is starting to show the one where he's got gold on his teeth and he's kind of, a little more snarly, fiercey.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. They're giving that image, which
And the key word, and you're right, image.
Yes, but you know what? They're both happening. It's happening on both sides. My problem is this. There's a difference to me, a big difference to me. Now, if it wasn't for the media, this case would have been blown, it never would have happened and it would have just been brushed under the rug. I don't think Trayvon's family doesn't seem like at this point in time they have so much money that they would be able to bring the media in. And this would have been another homicide that they went, oh, well, justified. Like it was.
Like the other 36 or 39 that happened, that have happened since they've passed this law.
Yes, whatever that number is, it would just be brushed
under. Up 300%.
But, so the media bringing attention to it, fantastic. But my problem is there's a fine line between the media bringing attention to it and the media trying to fill their time with trying the case in the media.
Oh, we're way past that line.
Listen to what we have here going on with them basically trying the case in the media.
This is a lawyer who has said on television, I haven't even asked my client what happened. Then on television, he has said, this is what happened. This lawyer is getting away with the craziest stuff any lawyer has ever attempted to get away with in this kind of situation on television. And he knew that wouldn't happen here. He would not get away with that here. Who is paying you, Mr. Lawyer? Who hired you? When exactly did they hire you? Does George Zimmerman have a job? Does he have any property? Does he own anything? Did you represent him when he was arrested for assault on a police officer in 2005? Were you his lawyer then? Did you represent him in the domestic violence case in 2007 when he was accused by his girlfriend of assault? Did you represent him then when she got a restraining order against him? You said Zimmerman was injured, a broken nose. Do you have photographs of your client's broken nose the night of that incident or even the day after? You said Zimmerman's clothes were got grass and all this evidentiary material on it during this altercation that you talk about. Do you have that garment? Can you show us what happened to it? Do you have photographs of that garment if you don't have the garment? Do the police have photographs that they have told you about? Your client was not injured enough to go to the hospital that night. You say that he sought some sort of medical treatment the next day. Do you have those medical records that you can show us? And Joe Oliver, did you bring him into this case?
You can't even say that it predates what you know of him, because you say you know him for the last 6 years. That is a period over which he has called 911 on people in his community for 46 times. Did he talk to you about any of those 46 times that he called 911 on people in that community, yes or no?
Why would he?
So that's right. You don't know this man.
Okay, so here's my problem.
How many times have you called 911?
It doesn't matter. I've told you about none of them. Does that mean you don't know me? That does not mean. And here's my problem is the trying of the case. First of all, those first 90, everything but that last section, the first 2 minutes of that 2:15 clip or whatever that was Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell, yeah.
Yelling at an empty chair. Because according to Lawrence O'Donnell, the Zimmerman's lawyer, Zimmerman's attorney, is afraid to show up. So, because he doesn't want to face Lawrence O'Donnell questions.
Well, Lawrence yells.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, the chair almost got up and left. But the problem is why in the world would a man, why would that lawyer, if he got on Lawrence O'Donnell's show and said, oh, you want me to show you all the evidence you're asking for? Sure, here it is. Why don't you yell at this evidence for a little while? Here's some more evidence. Like, that would be a horrible lawyer. That's not a good lawyer. If you go on if you literally go and take your case,
right,
to the people that are going to shut you down, control what you're allowed to say, or shut off your mic if you want, and basically try to take shots at your evidence, there's a horrible lawyer. So that's my problem, is the difference between, they need to draw attention to this case or nothing would have ever happened. But there's a difference between that and trying the case.
Mm-hmm.
I already agree with you. Don't give me shoddy evidence to prove that last part. Charles Blow, New York Times, I think is great. And right. I understand he was very emotional as well.
Right.
But the fact that George Zimmerman didn't, and I'm not saying Joe Oliver is credible by any stretch. I'm not saying he is. I don't know enough about it. But the fact that your point is, oh, well, he didn't tell you about the times he called 911, so you don't know this man. Like, that's, don't make me side with the other person. Because
you're being an idiot?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know you're emotional. There's enough right. credible shit where this man should be arrested,
right.
obviously, and this investigation should go on, as opposed to, why is this man not arrested? So we're trying it, you know, to fill all our news 24-hour cycles with, hey, here's more evidence.
Well, you know, it's an incredibly divisive topic. It's bound to get ratings. It's juicy.
Yeah.
It's got everything. And I don't mean to sound callous and unfeeling when I say that. I mean, I'm talking from strictly a media perspective. It's perfect for what you want. If it bleeds, it leads. And this is a tragic, horrible story for both sides.
Well, talking about it, they can find ways to talk about it. Stop trying it. You can't. Oh. I'll give you an example. The Spike Lee retweeting. Somebody thought they found the address of Zimmerman and tweeted it to a handful of celebrities. Will Smith, Spike Lee, a handful of others. The only celebrity to retweet what he believed was Zimmerman's address was Spike Lee, who has 200, 250,000 followers on Twitter. Those people now, wonderful grandparents, now seemingly wonderful, the woman has heart problems, now get death threats, can't be there because it was the wrong house. Oops. Spike Lee tweets his apologies to people who don't, to grandparents who don't go on Twitter. He tweets his apology to people who won't be able to hear it unless they watch the news, to hear that maybe they were apologized to instead of calling him. But as much as I would like to see Zimmerman prove, arrested immediately, it doesn't make any sense that he's not arrested. What was the good idea here? Was that, what if it was the right address? So you send a mob over to kill him? Is that what the good idea is?
It's again, we're talking about an emotional response, probably, to
the address. You're going to retweet the address of a man's name who the new Black Panthers already put $10,000 bounty on his head.
Right.
And you're going to tweet out what you think and then apologize because it was the wrong address, as if, hey, sorry, I sent out the mob to the wrong place, is a fine answer.
Right. No, there's no defense. There's really no defending the action.
It is.
It's an indefensible action because you are putting, you're potentially putting people in danger, and you should be smart and savvy enough to know that.
Yeah, he better hope that nothing crazy comes from that, because I don't know how you can't, if somebody, God forbid,
still
thinks that's the address because of that.
He's in big, bad trouble. He's in liable trouble.
Liable. That's going to bring me into my next topic. That's a fine legal word you're going to throw at me. That's all I needed. Obamacare is going to going to be decided on something they've already had.
Well, hang on a second. Can we call it healthcare reform?
We can, but nobody would know what the hell you're talking about. We're going to call it Obamacare.
Because this law impacts every American, and the court will weigh it against the U.S. Constitution. Legal analyst Trevor Burrus says lawmakers are now passing that responsibility on to the Supreme Court.
It seems like the political pressures on congressmen have them think about less of the Constitution and maybe more about the next election, which is why the unelected judges in that building over there are in a good position to try and ensure that the Constitution is followed.
Deciding that, 9 Supreme Court justices. For the first time in the court's history, 3 of them are women. 1 is Hispanic. 6 of them are from the Catholic faith, and 3 are Jewish. Their line of questioning Tuesday could mean the president's health care law is in jeopardy.
The federal government is not supposed to be a government that has all powers. If the government can do this, what else can it not do?
Well, that changes the relationship of the federal government to the individual in a very fundamental way.
doesn't sound good for Obama's health care reform.
It could be the best thing to happen to it. It being knocked down by the Supreme Court, the mandate being taken out, could be the best thing to happen to it, because he could turn around and just go, hey, look, I tried to play ball with these right-wing nut jobs. They diluted a decent piece of legislation down to where I had to make compromises that made it completely unconstitutional and unpassable. He comes back with single payer. You know, it could be the best thing to happen to it.
It would be nice, but you know, they've already tried single payer. We've seen that. We've seen that knocked down. That's why it got watered down to this crap in the first place.
Right.
And I mean, if we think fact is going to play a role, I don't think that does. I mean, we have first of all, 25% of Americans in a recent poll think prayer is pretty good health care. So that right there is not a good sign.
Okay.
I don't think it worked out that well for Jim Henson, but you know what? We can ask him. Oh, no, we can't, because he's
too
praying.
Soon.
Too soon? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. If I could say that whole joke in a Kermit voice, I would have done it, but I can't. Yeah, thank you. Single payer is, I mean, basically, and here's the thing, is for people that don't know what single payer is, what was originally what most of the people on the left wanted, which was pretty much immediately knocked down as soon as any negotiation started, which is basically everybody pays a certain amount for health care, and then that's it. You don't ever get a bill. If you go to the hospital 50 times or two times, you don't get a bill. Basically, the government collects this money from everybody, and then the government gets one huge collective bill and says, okay, we have that money because they've been paying X amount. And that's basically how single payer would work. That immediately, when Obama started negotiating, that's the first thing that got struck down. Keep the insurance companies involved.
Right.
So once that got struck down, then we have this system where now you need a mandate in order to make sure everybody gets it. The question is a mandate legal? They force you to get driver's insurance.
That's state by state that does that.
Still a mandate.
Fair enough. But this is now a federal issue that we're dealing with. A way to get around this is to tie federal dollars that are given to the states to them having people enroll in health care. So it's what it basically is. It's, you know, if you want this federal dollars, California, we're going to make you be the bad guy, and you go force your citizens to buy insurance.
But it'll get the same exact argument from the same people.
Here's the problem with making somebody, with having a mandate, is that the market currently isn't fair. Most states have an insurance company that dominates from anywhere from 70 to 95% of the market is one carrier per. And so it's sort of a tacit monopoly, if you will. So, you know, if the system's broken and you're forcing someone to buy into it, that's where I have the problem with it.
Well, that is the problem. And that kind of, like, I mean, I remember I was arguing with someone the other day who basically was yelling about, quote, Obamacare.
Right.
And his big thing was trying to put me in position to defend Obamacare, or the mandate.
Right.
In which case I said, if you guys would have agreed to single payer,
right,
you can't say no, which I shouldn't say they can't, because they do, and this is what happens.
They will.
You say, no, we won't do what you want to do. We will force it to be a worse version of that, and then when it doesn't work, we say, your version sucks. And you say, well, wait a second, this wasn't my version. You wouldn't let me do my version. They go, it doesn't matter. This is what you passed. This is your fault.
I'd like to drive a big Ford Impala in the Indy 500. I think I could win the race. And they come back with, well, you're going to have to do it with 4 out of the 6 cylinders working and 3 tires. But I can't, and it's not fair to ask me to try to compete with these other cars. Yeah, well, then you can't win the race and you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and here's the question. What kind of insurance does Congress have? Congress has at least access to universal health.
Yeah, it's kind of a single payer universal health
care. Congress has access to universal health care.
Yeah.
Now, they don't all use it because
some of them have private plans.
Right. But as the general complaint goes for people who aren't rich is, sure, health care is great if you're rich.
Oh, Absolutely. That's when Rush came out a couple of years ago when he was in that hospital in Hawaii and said, oh, I can't believe we want socialized medical. It's the best medical care in the world. Of course, you bloated pig. You've got $500 million of EIB money floating out of your big patoot.
So. Yeah, so when rich people tell you that we have the greatest health care in the world, it's because you're rich. If you're not rich, you don't have that access.
You don't have health care, baby.
No. So, yeah, that is very true, which then brings you back to, can there be a mandate? But, yes, so they have access, too. They can all pay in and get 75% of their medical costs covered automatically for being in, not just Congress, federal employees.
Yeah, and Congress gets house calls on the Hill. If you can't get out of your office or you're just too busy, house calls.
That's why they like it to go back to, like, the 50s. They love that time frame.
Yeah, well, some Republicans, I think, want to go back to, like, the 1350s.
Yeah. Well, sure, more God. Bring me in more God. Well, now, here's the thing is now, for people that don't have insurance, and the reason for the mandate is for people that don't have insurance, if they go to the hospital
they usually go to the ER, which is very expensive.
Now, and even if they don't have insurance, there's not a lot of doctors that are taking them anyway without insurance. So let's say they go to the emergency room, even if it's once. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for that? More than likely, not them. And I've had to drive years ago. I drove a friend of mine to the hospital. He had an allergic reaction to, I believe, a medicine he took to get off smoking, which was not his medicine. So he's like, oh, my God, I'm burning. My skin's burning. I'm like, yeah, all right. Well, you want me to throw some water on you? No, take me to the hospital. So I take him to the hospital. They basically hook him up with, you know, their version, an IV version of Sudafed.
Right.
Lean them on a bed, not in a room, in the corner of like the waiting room, basically. If I move that curtain, there's three families sitting out in the waiting room. So it's not like there's a special room.
Okay.
When he's done, they wanted, it was $1,200 or $1,300. Uh-huh. He was there for 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I don't have insurance.
Yeah.
Well, what can you pay? I believe he paid them like $250.
Yeah.
And they were, and here's the thing is, they didn't argue that. They're like, oh, no, okay, well, what, 250? Okay, great. When you go from $250 to $1,300, there's a middleman in there that's making a whole bunch of money. And there's no reason for that.
That's not true.
Is that not true?
That's not true. There's no fraud. There's no waste in corporate medicine.
$1,300. This is why I don't understand. This is why I lose a monopoly all the time. I don't get it.
No, that's one of the things that was in the mandate, or rather in healthcare reform, was that...
Like, you're not Masco?
No. Freaking spend the money on healthcare, you idiots. Like 90 cents out of every dollar has to be spent on, a scalpel, sutures, medicine, something other than, you know...
Now, despite what you hear...
The board of CEOs.
Right. Now, despite what you hear from the crowd at a Republican debate... If somebody walks in, well, yes, especially about this. If somebody walks into an emergency room and doesn't have insurance and needs emergency care, they will take care of him.
Absolutely.
They cannot say no,
because we're not inhuman.
Right. As pretty much every other industrialized country has some version of healthcare, because they figure at least if you're one of us, you deserve this. Apparently here, if you're one of us, we are America. Unless you need my help, then go fuck yourself. Which is nice, but you have to help. They have to help someone who is uninsured.
It's the Hippocratic Oath.
So now, one of the things Justice Scalia said when that was mentioned was to go there. If someone goes there and they're uninsured, they need to be taken care of. It's an obligation to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And Scalia's point was, maybe we need to move away from that.
Yeah, well, and Scalia's a heartless prick.
Yeah. I don't know if you can. Yeah, I think you have to wait for the robe to come off before you can call him that. But I mean, which brings you to the point of now, is the Supreme Court if this comes down as a 5-4 decision, forget win or lose. If it comes down again along party lines.
Which it will.
As Citizens likely. United did as well.
Right.
Is this not Congress in robes?
Of course it's Congress in robes. They're political appointees. They have to be approved by Congress. It's retarded to ever, pardon me, it's... ridiculous.
Tarted and then tarted again.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Twice tarted. Tarted squared. To assume that there's not political involvement in the Supreme Court. I mean, it's horribly politicized. Why do you think that, you know, every time one of them kicks off, you're just so damn desperate to get one of your guys in there?
Yes. And that was always obviously the case. But there seemed to be a point, or at least maybe it wasn't a point in history as much as it was a point in my naivety, but there seems to be a point where you said, right, the Supreme Court, yes, there's certain people that feel firmly this way and certain people that feel firmly this way, but politics was not as much a, I'm going to stand my ground and I'll find an argument to just back up my point.
Right.
As opposed to now, which is, that's more what it's like.
Yeah. They're in courts past, you had guys that would step away from their ideological anchors, if you will, and actually vote how they thought needed to be voted.
And it doesn't seem to be the case now, or at least in the last.
No. I mean, in the last, I'd say the last 30 years, we've moved from anything resembling a democracy to a, you know, plutocracy. We're being basically told what to do by the minions of large business.
Plutocracy, by the way, no longer a planet.
That's unfortunately, yes, but still Mickey's dog.
Yes. Oh, is that what that thing is? I couldn't. Really? That's nicely played.
For a guy with a voice that deep, I do pull a decent Mickey every once
that
in a
is,
while.
That is. I've heard you can pull your Mickey on a
kid. Hello, Fee. Is this on?
So, that's basically the thing, is that you wonder whether or not it's just going to, again, turn into another political right down the lines, in which case it's hard to look at the Supreme Court as anything other than, you know, robed Congress.
Unfortunately, it seems to be an extension of the congressional branch now. Yeah. It being that polarized and that politicized, it's lost its objectivity.
You do know Clarence Thomas, by the way, hasn't asked a question in 6 years?
Yes, he has.
No, wait.
Where's the bathroom?
No, has not. Hasn't even asked that question. Unless it was recess.
Well, then he probably took that Coke can with him, and he's using it underneath the robe.
I was going to say he knows where the bathroom is. That's where he does his harassment.
Hello.
But no, 6 years, he literally has not asked one question. Nobody else has gone one term without asking a question. He hasn't asked a single question in 6 years.
His wife gives him all those bullet points from, you know.
From Fox News,
and
he keeps a mini Hannity under his robe, who tells him what to say.
That sounds really naughty.
Well, that's all right. He's been more blatantly called a dick in his day anyway.
Naughty,
but that should move us into what seems to be the wrap up. Yeah, seems to be the wrap up of the wrap up phase of the Republican nomination process.
We've talked, you and I have gone round and round about this, and I think it's going to come down to the convention. I don't think Mitt, he can't wrap it up.
Well,
he can't.
Here's the thing is, you can get Newt out of the race, because pretty much Newt sounds like he's done.
Is he?
Newt Gingrich is scaling back his presidential campaign, cutting down on staff and travel as the GOP primary slog continues. With the former House Speaker carrying more in debt than campaign cash, finances have weighed on his Oval Office hopes. But the Washington Times reports his secret meeting with Mitt Romney on Saturday might also have had something to do with the downsizing. According to a source close to the Gingrich campaign, the two GOP rivals met early on the day of the Louisiana primary at Mr. Romney's hotel in New Orleans. Mr. Gingrich, responding to questions from the Washington Times, did not deny the meeting, but explicitly said he hasn't been offered a position in a potential Romney administration in exchange for dropping out. Another bet signed for Newt? On Wednesday, his own biggest financial backer, casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, appeared to have lost hope for the candidate.
It appears as though he's at the end of his line. Because, mathematically, he can't get anywhere near the numbers, and it's not unlikely to be a brokered convention.
Unless Gingrich wins three more primary contests, he won't even be eligible in the first round of delegate voting.
Now, Romney, the problem with Romney,
sugar daddy's gone away.
As recently as he was here in Vegas for the caucuses a few weeks ago. He's not the bold decision maker like Newt Gingrich is. He doesn't want to, every time I talk to him, he says, well, let me think about it. Everything I've said to Mitt, let me look into it.
I like a man. I like a man who says, I don't want you to think about shit.
Yeah.
Stop thinking.
Well,
I'm telling you what to think. That's what my money means.
These guys got used to the decider. Never mind my reading and my thinking. I'm a decider.
Why do you have to look into shit when I'm giving you money that tells you what to think? That's basically what Adelson is saying.
Well, I think Adelson wants, and he could have gotten it. He could have hired private contractors to do what he wants to do, which is take out Iran. Sheldon Adelson's got a big nervous twitch up his, you know what, about Iran.
That may be the case.
Oh, yeah, no, because every time you see him talking other than trying to say, oh, no, Newt's a great guy, it's Iran.
That may be the case. That doesn't necessarily explain why spending $16.5 million on Newt's campaign is a good idea.
Because Newt probably said, hey, Shelley, you know, you get me in the White House, I'll take Ahmed Dinajad out to the woodshed and show him what fur.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you would think if you're a multimillionaire, you would say shortly before you spend $16 million, this guy ain't getting to the White House. This guy has a better chance at the moon base that he wants to do than he does getting into the White House.
What, moon base alfalfa?
There is no chance. Here's the thing is, when your campaign is charging $50 for a picture with Newt.
Right. And he's not naked. See, $50, want nudity. I don't necessarily want his nudity, but I mean, for $50 for a picture.
No, but it does say pick with happy finish. So I don't really know
what
that
you.
Means.
Thank you, everybody.
But here's the thing is, when you start spending, it's a kind of a strange catch 22. When you're charging $50 for people to take a picture of you, mm-hmm. you know that your campaign is in so much trouble that you need to raise that much money. Yeah. Yet, why in the world is someone going to spend $50 for someone who's blatantly not even going to get the nomination?
Oh, come on. People collect all sorts of weird things, man. Why not, you know, this is go in my loser gallery of fame in my den. You know, here's me with Walter Mondale. Here's me with, you know, other political
yes,
losers.
But those pictures are not usually taken shortly after you know he's done. I mean, it's taken during moments of hope. It's like, hey, Mondale, it's me and the next president of the United States. Unless
you're saying at the $50 level, then you know the party's over and this is just a sad, sad decline.
Yeah, I'm saying when he says, hey, oh, you want a photo? Sure, come over here. You know this is going to be $50. Yeah, you're pretty much going, you know what? You ain't winning shit. I'm going to back away right now. No,
see, that's why I say nudity it should be mandatory.
Is that what nude is short for?
No, I have no idea what Newt. I think Newt is just, you know, it's
not
the
sure
little,
for nudity.
It's the lizard. It's the little lizard thing. And right. I have an idea about why Newt and Mitt met. I think it was a wife swap.
That is gross.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm Newt and Callista are swinging thingins, my friend.
That is, first of all, you should never swing anything as big as Newt's head. That seems outrageous. It's like a wrecking ball. That thing is dangerous.
The smallest thing on that fat bastard's body, unfortunately.
That thing is. probably not the case.
And what it's filled with, my friend, is what terrifies me.
That's what I don't understand. Some of the dumb shit that comes out of his mouth, and they keep referring to him as...
genius.
Yeah.
Big thinker.
He's the intellectual. Yeah. I don't understand. Just because your head is big doesn't mean your thoughts are big.
No. Just because you've written a bunch of books doesn't necessarily make you some kind of super genius.
No.
Check Ann Coulter.
It does allow him to. It does allow him to call himself a historian, which is nice.
Right.
But right. Now Romney, so I mean, it seems pretty much Romney.
You're
for
saying Santorum. Inevitable.
Right, what's that?
You're saying he's inevitable.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
The thing is, you've been thinking he's been inevitable since the beginning. But
that's
don't
so
like
sad
him.
Because
they don't like him
exactly.
so much.
Nobody, how is it? He's the inevitable nominee, and sorry, I just had a Mitt flash in my head.
They don't
cares.
Like him so much that they've tried everybody else, no matter how ridiculous. Bachman, I think, is partially retarded. Herman Cain, he might be the other part. You got Newt, who's an idiot, and you can put a montage together of dumb shit he says.
Don't forget the other Texan.
Rick Perry.
Oh, my goodness.
Rick Perry, who,
wow.
Yeah, it's hard.
He makes W look smart, and that's a terrifying thing to say.
That is, I don't know if it's ever been said. It's bad. Even Trump got his day in the polls with these people because they didn't like Mitt. But it was always in Santorum, when you're known as the frothy mix guy, you don't have a chance. Yet it just delayed it long enough.
But also with the primaries, with the Republican primaries, you are shooting for about 12% of the population to get them all fired up because that's your base. And he's got a direct line into them. He's the God guy. He's the morals guy.
Which one? Who, Santorum?
Santorum.
Yeah. He's got his God vote.
He's got the God vote.
And but he doesn't have the realism vote.
Doesn't matter. In the primary,
it does matter because he's not going to win. That's why it matters. If he had a chance, they would have been falling behind him because they don't like Mitt. He's basically been... spoiler roll from day one, because there are people that like his "we need more Jesus" comment. There's people that like all sorts of things, including did he possibly drop the N-word right here? Listen to this.
We know the candidate Barack Obama what he was like.
the anti-war government, America was a source for division around government,
Yeah. What do you think he was starting to say there? The government what?
I'm going to go with N-words for 500, Alex.
Yes. But he only said half of it. Just like when he said, you know, black people. Yeah, and then he said, no, I started saying something with a B and I changed it to blah, which is, you know, almost black. But it's not. It's just, either way, I don't know if he was saying that or not. I have no idea. But he has no chance of winning. That, to me, is just entertaining because I don't know what else he could have started to say there. But
see, what else is he going to scream? I brought my dead kid home for the rest of my kids to play with. That's not going to go
well. He doesn't
know.
I've already screamed that. He doesn't need to scream that. But I mean, Romney is so disliked. This is amazing. Now, Texas is always basically a Republican state. Is that correct?
It's
always.
Well,
pretty much always pretty a Republican much, state. It's, way it's, too yeah. much time taken on that answer. So Colbert, Colbert's super PAC
yeah.
gets more money in Texas than Romney's super PAC. Now, that's also possible that enough people in Texas just don't understand that Colbert is kidding.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, which is sad, but then again, the Republican Party, when Bush was in office, invited Colbert to speak at that press function where they get to, and didn't realize that he was going to rag on the president, which shows you the sense of humor they got rolling over there. But I mean, Romney is pretty much, despite how disliked he is, he's the only one that can get to has a chance at the delegates. In which case, you're starting to see even Rubio, who has a good, probably the best chance at a vice presidential nod. You don't know that yet, but he's one of the ones that keeps coming up. Even he said, "Well, yeah, I'm going to endorse Romney. Why? Because he's going to be the nominee." Was his answer.
Right.
Not a ringing endorsement, but starting to get in line because they don't want a brokered convention.
Right. But I mean, do you want to be the nominee who's damned with faint praise by every single person who talks about you? That's rough.
Well, yes, but when your other option is to not be the nominee, yes, you do. I mean, if Romney was going to get out because he wasn't beloved, he wouldn't still be in it. But he's basically saying, I can outlast these guys because at this point, he has to be from day one ecstatic that one, well, not day one because it switched, but for the last couple of months, he has to be ecstatic that Santorum really is his main competitor. Like, as exciting as it was for Santorum to win certain things, he had no chance. He has no chance. When you have so much footage of you saying all sorts of bad shit about gay people, just that topic alone, forget sex and contraception and things along those lines and birth control, he's not winning anybody but his own base.
Right. Which is, unfortunately, almost enough.
But not.
But it could be. See, I don't know. Again, I think it still has the possibility to go to a brokered convention.
Well, I mean, it is possible, and they both continue to say that they're not going to bail out because Santorum does not know how to pull out. Yeah.
You know who hasn't even spoken about pulling out? Nobody's talking to.
And Santorum doesn't know how to do that.
Ron Paul.
No, but Ron Paul does nothing.
He's been saying that, except
he doesn't get any. I mean, look at it. He's behind Newt in...
Right, in delegates, but he's not...
And we're halfway through.
Right.
So, I mean, the fantasy's nice, but it's not happening. I mean, numbers have to come into play. He's not bailing out, but...
He's not going anywhere. No, I don't think anyone's going anywhere.
I think sooner or later, they're just going to. I mean, they're all starting to say things like even Santorum has said, well, yeah, I'll take the vice presidential nominee if I get it. I'll do what I have to do for the country. They're all starting to get... Now, they're not bailing out yet, so he can't full force go behind that because that's bailing out. But what I'm starting to see is the inevitability and other people saying, they still don't endorse Romney, but they say he's going to win, so let's not go to a brokered convention and let's start getting behind him.
Right, which is interesting because at a brokered convention, you could pull out some brand new, you know, rookie all-star and suddenly the party unites behind him, which is kind of...
Don't think they've been searching for that guy since day one?
Well, since the dawn of time, they've been searching for this guy, but... You know,
if that guy was around, they would have already. They tried to make Christie into him. That's not happening.
No, he can't run. He can't even walk to the
presidency. There's no mythical person. I mean, you have Sarah Palin hoping they'll ask her. There's no person that's coming into that.
See, thing. I would actually pay $49.99 pay per view to see the Palin Obama presidential debate. That would be comedy extraordinaire, I believe.
Palin speaking to anybody past the eighth grade would be entertaining for me. But, all right, I want to go to a little sports while we still have some time. Tebow, excited? Is Tebow excited to go to the Jets?
Oh, my goodness.
Let's find out.
I'm so excited about being a Jet. So excited about meeting my teammates. I was really excited about that. All right, I'm excited. I'm excited to be a Jet, and I'm excited to be here. That would be exciting for me. I think it's just exciting. I'm excited about the opportunity. He was excited. He's excited about working with me. I'm excited about working with him. I'm excited about the opportunity, and I'm excited about my future. And how exciting it is. I'm excited to be a Jet. Excites me. I'm excited, and that was exciting. He's just excited that I'm here. Just excited. It would have been exciting. It's exciting for me. I guess they are pretty excited. I'm excited, and that's exciting. Excited about the support that I have here. It'll be exciting to watch, and I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited about it.
Okay, that was in, I believe, a 34-minute press conference.
44, I believe it was.
44? 44-minute press conference.
No.
Oh, 44 times you said it in a 34-minute. Yes. My favorite part of that, by the way, being I'm excited, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites, because when you can work it back-to-back like that, you know what? That is exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah.
That is working the language, my man. So, is Tebow to Jets a good idea? That's the first part of the question. And if anybody in there with a New York accent wants to call in and rag on this idea, 800-893-9562. Tell me why bringing in a savior is a good idea to back up Sanchez.
It's going to be brutal for Tebow. I really am worried about this poor innocent lamb going to the Big Apple.
Because he's... Innocent. Interesting wording, by the way.
Yeah, well, because it could be a lamb to the slaughter. New York media is notoriously harsh on their sports heroes. So if he goes in there and lays a big egg, boy, that...
Well, the question is what's expected of him? He's being named the backup. So, yes, they're saying he's going to get 15 to 20 plays. Seems like a lot for a backup quarterback, especially if you would ask the starting quarterback.
No doubt.
But I mean, he wasn't traded for to be, no pun intended, the savior.
Sanchez
most people
is the starter.
Don't think he's going to happily accept the backup role. They think, I mean, happily may not be the right word. But they think he's going to compete, and he may, by halfway through, start to maybe even take over the job.
Right. And, well, then you also may run an offense of, you know, 60-40, 70-30, where you have a wildcat, and he comes in, where you have the option that your big, huge running back might be able to throw the ball.
Yes.
Which is kind of what Tebow is.
Right. But now the question is when Tebow was a starting quarterback, wasn't that his whole offense anyway?
Yeah.
So and, I mean, are you not setting up Sanchez to fail? Unless Sanchez starts off on fire, he comes out 1-3-and-out, 2-3-and-out, 3-3-and-outs, which happens to the best quarterbacks ever.
Right.
3-3-and-outs. You bring in Tebow.
Right.
They drive down the field and they score. Okay. Now what do you do? Do you not bring in the guy that just led you to a touchdown? Why would you not do that? I mean, you're bringing him in, hoping for him to score.
Right.
So now what is your scenario? How are you not? And I understand. Now here's the thing: does Sanchez deserve the nod of you're our starter no matter what? I don't know if anybody deserves that if they're not performing to that level.
Right. And this is all Josh acting anyway, because we've got a whole summer of camp.
Question is he's one of his reputations, one of the big knocks on his reputation is he's not mentally strong. Not that he's not intelligent, but just that this will fuck with his psyche enough where he could be a mess. I mean, at this point in time...
Yeah, that's what I was talking about when, you know, the lamb goes to New York, my friend.
But that's Tebow. That's not Sanchez. We're talking Sanchez.
We're talking Sanchez?
When you bring in, when you pay millions of dollars to bring in a backup, what's that do to your starter? What does that do to your starter? You're saying, what other starter in the league is going to be like, hey, we're bringing in a guy and we're going to give him 20 snaps a game from you? That doesn't happen anywhere else in the league. It brings back the old saying, and I think Phil Simms used to say, which is, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Right. Or you have one too many.
Well, that's not the saying. But sure, if you want to reword it, sure. That's basically what the saying is they're not going to make it work.
Right.
Now, you're an old Niners fan. You have Montana and Young. They had to get rid of one of them.
Right.
And you know, and
you
why?
Because you go with the younger guy because the older guy's knees are starting to go, and the younger guy's starting to look like he can be as good as Joe.
And as good as it is to have a great backup, if that backup is younger or the same age and wants to play and is good enough to play, he's eventually going to be miserable not being able to, you know, continue his career as a starter.
Oh yeah,
Tebow may be fine in that role. Sanchez may be a mental mess, but the question is the second you get any Tebow success, you're going to have a split in the locker room, if not among the fans. The second, because people can't wait to cheer Tebow on. People that support him can't wait. Other people can't wait to knock him.
Right.
People can't wait to cheer him on.
Right.
Which brings me to the question of, is the Tebow circus his fault? I mean,
fault? No, but he's definitely complicit in the circus. He is a willing participant. Is he the ringmaster? No, but you know, he's in clown makeup riding a bear on a unicycle. He's in it. He doesn't shy away.
Let's it is fine it multitasking way. If you know he's doing I mean? All that. But I mean, no, but I mean, he himself has said when given the opportunity to preach the word of his savior, he will
proselytize at the drop of a hat.
I don't want to say, oh my Lord, in that scenario, but this, he will Christ up an interview like nobody's business.
So ask me again if he's responsible for the circus. You know, I mean, he is, that's what they're gravitating towards. Oh, look, he's the Jesus quarterback.
That and rubs some people out. The wrong way.
Fair enough. But I mean, so if he's going out and being the Jesus quarterback, yes, he's responsible for that attention.
That rubs some people the wrong way. And then the question is that those people's fault? If I'm one of those people that get rubbed the wrong way because he's talking about Jesus all the time, is that my fault or is that Tebow's fault?
All right. I think if you're offended by somebody else's faith, that's on you.
Offended by his faith? No, but do I need to hear about it? Here's my thing. Because here's a defense I heard for him at one point when someone was saying it would be more the people who have a problem with it. It's more their fault in that they're saying his faith is to take the opportunity to proselytize Jesus' name.
Right.
And if you have a problem with that, then that's your own fault. Here's my question is, what if I said, well, you know what? I am, you know, my belief is I need to push my political views on everybody as much as possible. So whenever I'm around people, I'm throwing out whatever the hell, you know, I'm blaring old Oberman clips, you know, in your face. I mean, I'm doing something. They have to be old because there is no, we'll get to that one later.
Right.
But, you know, just because I say that's what I believe, does that give me a right to talk about it all the time and make other people have to hear it?
Right. Your question, I gotta beef with your question in that one is a faith thing and the other one is a political thing. People, yeah, it's
well,
faith,
no.
faith has its own.
I understand, but set of rules but for everything, no, no. But my problem is not what he believes.
Right. No, but it's pushing his belief.
Well. Do I need to hear it? Just because somebody feels they need to talk about it all the time, do I need to hear it? And I don't know why that's.
No, you can turn the radio off, the TV off. You can walk away. You can la 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 stick your fingers in your ears if you need to.
That is true.
Right.
That is true. And I am not telling him. But now the question is right. And so I'm not saying he shouldn't go to his regular functions and say whatever he wants. He has freedom of speech, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have a right to.
Right.
But if they're talking to him at the Super Bowl,
right.
Do I need to hear Christ three times during a pregame interview?
No.
Do I need to?
No.
Do I need to turn it off and then guess back when Tebow's ready? No. Or can he act like a normal football player?
Nope.
I mean, to me, I understand what he wants to say.
Right.
That doesn't mean everybody else wants to hear it.
All right. Now, allow me, along this topic, to play an alternative advocate, if you will.
Sure.
Would we have the same reaction to a very good football player whose last name was Hassad? Or a Ajim, and every time he scored a touchdown,
I would have,
he praised Allah.
I would have the same reaction, yes, because I still don't want to hear anybody's religion, my own religion.
Can you imagine how
they wouldn't, yes.
Oh, can you imagine how much America generally would freak right out of their minds?
The people who love Tebow, not because he was a great college quarterback, but because he loves Jesus so much, would have a huge problem.
Huge
with
problem
that.
With that.
A lot of that. And
if we do, in fact, live in a nation where we tolerate all religions, then shut up. Because everybody should get to drop to a knee and say, hey, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Allah, or thank you, Bob, the big leafy green head of cabbage.
I agree with you. I didn't want to hear from Kurt Warner either. And my problem is this, why is it right after you suck in a game why don't you say, I mean, I don't care that you, I don't care that you have a problem. I don't
care that you,
I don't care that you love yourself some Jesus. I don't have no problems with that. But my problem is why in the world don't you, I mean, Kurt Warner, why do you make you come so close to winning the Super Bowl and then lose it? Was he fucking with you? I don't think so. But if Roethlisberger didn't come down, and Santonio Holmes, who has a criminal record, by the way, I don't know why Jesus would let that happen, but was, he makes this game-winning catch.
Right.
And yet, you know, if that didn't happen, I'm sure Jesus fully gets credited for the victory. But instead, he doesn't. He's not going to worry about the outcome of a game if we lose.
Right. Well, this isn't logic. This is faith, baby.
Right. And I have no problems with whatever faith, to each their own. Right. I just don't need to hear it.
Oh, fair enough.
Now, and that doesn't mean that there's not forums for it. There's all sorts of forums for it. All
churches.
Over the place. Yes. And you know what?
Synagogues.
If you're famous, you can put on your camera on your online and you can do it. But I don't need to do it in interviews that should have nothing to do with that.
So you would say that Tebow should wear his jersey to church and not his church to the stadium?
I think he should probably not mix those two. But
Separation of sport and state?
You know, you know what? He can mix them all he wants. I just don't need to hear about
it. Okay.
But you know what? Let's get a couple of minutes in of baseball real quick. Before we get to that, Sean Payton is appealing.
Yep.
They're going to do a quick appeal, so I'm sure next week we'll have more info on that. He is appealing his year-long suspension for the bounty system, and they're also talking to Bill Parcells to fill in. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But the Dodgers were just bought by the group with Magic Johnson in it.
And they did they get the parking lot?
That's interesting. The deal is they got the parking lot.
Okay.
Frank McCourt is still involved in the parking lot, but he doesn't get any revenue from the parking lot. Here is the only way he gets involved. He is involved in the land of the parking lot. So if the land gets developed for some other structure, like
they got to buy some. They
if a football stadium, if a football stadium gets opened up, then he somehow gets something from that. If they develop that land,
okay.
But as a parking lot, no.
No, okay.
And well, the talk is traffic is so bad that that's not where they would want to put a stadium anyway.
Oh God, no.
Of course, apparently, them planning around traffic has not worked out well for them over the last few years. It'd be great to see Magic hopefully bring the Dodgers back to prominence. That would be nice.
I like it. I think it's going to be a good fit. He is truly an LA guy. He has been forever, and he's done a lot of
smart, obviously a brilliant businessman as well.
No lightweight, and it's good. Also, it's good to have a sports guy own a sports team. I think that always,
especially in a town where he is a hero.
Yeah,
that is fantastic.
And this is coming from a Giants fan. I bleed orange and black, and I still. When the whole Frank McCourt thing went down, and it's a storied organization. I hated to see, even as a Giants fan, see the brand name of the Dodgers tarnished as it was, because it wasn't, he didn't buy it as a sports team. He bought it as, you know, another bauble, if you will. You know, it's like McMansion. It was just a status symbol. You can't do that with a storied franchise.
No, there's not a lot of owners. I mean, you're not a lot of owners that the fans chant to get rid of. Well, he is one of them.
Not in about 60 years or so. No,
he is one of them. All right, let's get the headlines. James Cameron. You know, I mentioned this on the website earlier. James Cameron, the director of Titanic and Avatar, is now our leading explorer.
Yeah,
having descended 7 miles deeper than anybody else. Ever has.
And shot footage of it all the way down and all the way up?
In 3D as well.
In 3D.
Well.
And somehow he'll still make it suck.
No. Because he has the highest grossing and second highest grossing movies of all
somehow
time.
Somehow he'll put Celine Dion underneath that footage.
Oh, that should never happen.
Suck.
That should I cannot wait. As I said on the website, I cannot wait for Tyler Perry's Medea Takes Mars. That's going to be awesome. 7 miles down. And here's the other thing is Richard Branson is also, you know, he's also going to do a dive. In another part of the world, which is almost as deep.
Right.
And then obviously he's also looking to go to space.
Yeah.
It's amazing that these guys, I mean, you get the feeling that if UFOs ever come down, they're going to come down already owning 25% stock in Virgin Atlantic. I mean.
And Lightstorm Productions, Cameron's company. Yeah.
That is amazing. JetBlue. Everybody had heard about them.
Well, actually,
sure.
I should be JetBlows.
Watch your ass. Although I love JetBlue, although I'm glad I was not on this flight. A pilot on a flight from New York to
Vegas.
To Vegas. Yeah, well, what happens in Vegas sometimes has to wait to get to Vegas before it gets to Vegas. Pilot Clayton Osborne apparently flipped out a little bit, and the co-pilot did a great job of co-pilot Dowd. I'm not sure of his first name. Did a great job recognizing that he started to be a little incoherent. Talked him out of there. Brought in a backup pilot, co-pilet,
and
who was happened to be
locked it up.
Right, locked it up. Made an announcement. Do not let him back in, because the pilot began running up and down, banging on the door, screaming stuff about Afghanistan, Israel, Iran.
Rapture.
Yeah, you don't want any of that. You don't want to hear that shit. Here's what else you don't want to hear on your plane is over the loudspeaker. Ladies and gentlemen, do not let the pilot back in the cockpit. that is not good. The French shooter, the Toulouse gunman,
yeah,
Mohamed Marat, 23-year-old, who was then killed, he was finally buried. They actually had him on a plane. His dad wanted to bury him in Algeria. They had him on a plane ready to go, and Algeria said, we don't want him. Do you know how big of a dick you have to be for Algeria to be like, we don't want those bones?
No, thank you. Thank you, no.
Now, there's also a report coming out, and this is certainly not confirmed, that they think he may be, he may have had some ties and possibly could have been an informant for the Italian intelligence. That has obviously been denied and not confirmed.
Oh, man.
Keith Olbermann has been fired again. Less than a year into a 5-year, $50 million contract, he is now...
Is he now the Billy Martin of political announcers?
That is great. Yes, he probably is. We'll know more about that as legal action is pending. Anchorman 2 has just been announced.
They named it San Diego, which of course in German means a whale's vagina.
No, there's no way that's correct.
Scholars maintain that the translation was lost hundreds of years ago.
Doesn't it mean Saint Diego?
No. No.
No, that's what it means. Really.
Well, agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. That's where I learned what San Diego means. I am looking forward to Mr. Ron Burgundy remaking an appearance.
Whale's vagina.
So funny. Brings us, we have a minute and a half left, brings us to what is wrong with people.
Oh, good Lord.
Jeff, who is your douche of the week?
Me.
Yes, sir. You are the douche of the week?
I am the douche of the week.
Oh, my Lord. What did you do?
It's what I didn't do. I didn't have enough faith in myself, and I was proved wrong by the universe, and I'm very happy to be here. So that's as far as I will go with that. Never doubt yourself, my friend. That's the lesson right there. I was technically the douche of the week.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Every once in a while, you got to throw the flag on yourself if it's warranted. And
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough. Now, here's the crazy thing.
But
I'm
okay.
I have to change my douche of the week because I don't want to use the same one.
Oh, see what it did. All love, folks. Nothing but love here.
Ow.
Who's your douche of the week, Gus? What's wrong with people?
God, well, we only have a minute left now, so that'd be tough. But we were just talking about the shooter.
Yeah.
Mohammed. Well, Mohammed Merah. Well, his dad wanted to sue the government, the French government, for not following procedures to take his son alive.
Because he was shooting at them.
Yes, because your son is a mass murderer who was inside a bathroom shooting at the cops. But I believe one of the actual, and usually I don't refer to a foreign French diplomat and quote him, but he said, if I was the father of that monster, I would keep my mouth shut. Well put, sir.
Dare I say, touche, sir.
And I will say this. I assume he said it in French, but I do not know.
Oui.
Last thing I would like to say, if I get the opportunity, I would love to, since Keith Olbermann has time on his hands, I would love to promote a celebrity boxing match between him and Glenn Beck.
Ooh, I'll go see it.
Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks.